You're listening to a Dom and Jeremy podcast. Your boys in the morning on Mix 100.
I'm going to guess that we're going to be hearing from some people about this, but there was a funny little piece in Cracked. Cracked is a funny magazine. About little small quirks that can eventually grow into becoming relationship killers. So you don't put too much stock in it right now. It's like, oh, we eat completely different foods. That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And then you get into a relationship.
And then you're married and you're for 20 years and you're like, ugh. Can you just chew with your mouth closed, please? Just shut up.
Anyway, so they should we go down their little list here and let's chat about
these?
Sure. Number one on their list, they call it Netflix incompatibility, but that can be obviously any streaming. It basically comes down to they like one kind of TV show and you like another.
Yeah, that's definitely happened many times in my relationship. And then we just end up going our separate ways and using that as our, you know, cardio show. Mm-hmm. So when you're on the, you know, elliptical or treadmill for 45 minutes, that's what we're watching, our each individual show. I tried to start like Sons of Anarchy with Nicole, Breaking Bad. She wanted nothing to do with it. And then on the other side, like I tried to watch Bridgerton with her for a couple episodes. I was like, nope, not happening.
Yeah, I think as long as a couple can find some common ground and you have your time together, because...
Maisel was our common ground, and now Maisel is over, and we're just patiently waiting for season 5.
Yeah, for us, it's British crime/detective shows. We both love those, and so we can have. And granted, you know, you need to get out of the house. It's not all about sitting on the couch all the time, but I think that's an important element is couch time.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be able to, you know, kind of decompress with something that you both like. So anyway, if you're in a relationship, like a new relationship with somebody, and you guys don't have any compatibility when it comes to the, you know, the remote,
probably
gonna fall apart. Number two, I don't know if we can spend much time on being bad at sharing.
Like, what are we
your
sharing?
Space, your food, even full control of your schedule. If you're the person you're dating can't handle that, it's going to lead to
Let's move on. Get it.
This one says missing social cues. If one of you has good social skills and one doesn't, they say that will lead to awkwardness at parties and long arguments afterward. I can speak from personal experience about this because I am naturally an introvert, and when the switch is thrown and I talk for a living, no problem. I can do it on the radio all day long. I can get up in front of crowds on stage, throw a switch, and I'm an MC or a host or a public speaker. No problem. Put me at a party, though, with a bunch of people, I will be the quietest person, and that has led to problems with significant others in the past.
I could see that, yeah. You're acting weird.
Yeah, we're driving home. It's like, well, you certainly didn't have anything to say to any of my friends. I'm like, well, I tried.
I hate your friends. That's usually what you should say.
When I'm at a party, listen, you can ask my pub club friends. At a party, for the first 30, 45 minutes, I'm fine. And then after that, I'm really quiet.
Yeah.
And I'm a good listener. I'm a great listener.
I'm a good listener.
And I can nod and smile and say all this stuff, but I can't carry a conversation at a party after a while.
I love the social cue after being with my wife for 1,000 years now of just the glance. We both know if when the other wants to go, essentially.
Sure.
Because you know the glance, and there's nothing special to it. It's all in the eyes. You just read the eyes, and you're like, it is time to go.
Yeah, but what's funny is if that happens and one
and
of you
ignore
wants,
it. Yeah.
One of you wants to stay.
Yes.
And so then you act like you didn't see that.
Yeah, right.
I was giving you the look. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I didn't,
wow, I'm sorry.
I didn't see the look. Oh.
You're ignoring the look again.
Number four in their list is food incompatibility. Do you have crossover in your food preferences? Do you agree on restaurants? Do you agree on how often to cook versus getting carry out or going out?
Okay, yeah.
Strong.
That's pretty
a strong
good.
Topic right there.
The only one I can relate to with that is the incompatibility with wine occasionally, because I'll want to crack something open and she'll want the bottle of white and I'll want the bottle of red. And we are incompatible when it comes to the wine sometimes.
Hey, you're just going to have to drink the whole bottle by yourself.
There is that, I guess. Or that's when you, you know, you keep the two boxes in the fridge if you really want a classy night.
We were, we never really had a problem with any of that stuff, especially the food, until I'd say it's been more challenging lately because Gretch has been on a special food diet thing for health reasons. And I'm not going to say it's made it difficult, but it's been interesting. It's been interesting. Because she will make some stuff and, you know, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to go.
This isn't for me.
I guess I'm going to go into the pantry and get something else.
You know where else we're incompatible is dressing. We have dressing incompatibility, too, when it comes to salads. You know, it's expensive, too, because you have to buy multiple bottles of dressing because our dressings don't sync up. I'm a blue cheese guy, and that's really hard to find somebody else who is a blue cheese person. Yeah. And she'll do the, you know, the vinaigrette or your classic ranch where I'm like, ugh, ranch is just like so overplayed. But I've got my bottle of blue cheese in there and it's all mine.
That makes sense. What about driving incompatibility? That's not on the list, but you, I take it that you two are not
we're
driving
not the same.
Compatible?
Yeah, she doesn't read traffic. Not. I read traffic. She doesn't read traffic.
Right.
Yep.
And in terms of
which
routes,
is hell on road trips, man.
Yeah, and routes.
Yes.
You know, she is a Google Maps person. I'm a Waze, W-A-Z-E,
yeah,
that
yeah.
app. I'm Waze. She's Google Maps. They rarely sync up and agree. And so we kind of argue over that in a good-natured way.
Sure.
And I told her what I said.
Does Waze win, you know, usually?
We need to do a little race of sorts. You know, get two cars, leave at the same time. You go your Google Maps way. Mm-hmm. I'll go the Waze way, and we'll see who gets there first.
Let's do it.
That is such a, as those words came out of my mouth, it's such a dude thing to
it
offer,
is,
isn't it?
You're spinning
no,
out as you leave.
No woman would ever say,
she's like, okay, all right,
let's
yeah,
race.
I'll
let's
race
see
you.
Who gets there.
Yeah, okay, you go first.
You know what would be funny? You know what she would do? Is I would say, let's race, and then I would hurry, and I would get there, and she wouldn't even show up. She would go off somewhere else just
like,
to leave
oh,
me.
Oh, Target.
Just to leave me sitting there looking like a moron. Yeah,
she should.
And other incompatibilities that could become relationship killers. The classic is Katrina from Commerce City. Her text simply says, pop-up cornhole game. That's
oh,
it. That's the text.
That's the text.
That's the extent.
Like, what were
Pop
we talking about?
Cornhole game. I'm like, what is that in reference to? I
yeah.
don't know. Anyway, we're also talking about little, small, petty things that eventually become relationship killers. Yvonne wrote in. She said, dressing compatibility, but not the salad dressing you were talking about.
Blue cheese.
I mean, I like to look nice when I go out. And he would always wear the crappiest clothes, although she didn't say crappiest. The thing is, he didn't do that when we first met. But after a month, I saw the real him. I ended it. I can't date a slob.
Slobby guy, huh?
So that was the
sweatpants
old
guy.
Switch, right? Yeah. When they were dating, he would kind of, you know, dress up. He would look nice. And then once they got together, he became sweatpants guy.
Oh, my God, dudes. I have two more that I was thinking of,
yes.
with from my relationship. And it's funny. They both involve the bed. Bum, bum, bum. The way you put the sheets on has been a big incompatibility thing in my
like
relationship.
What?
Because she is, you know, that top sheet. She is patterned down. I am patterned up when making.
Pattern
and
down.
She insists, we've had this debate before on the show, that patterned down is the correct way to do it because you put patterned
down. You mean facing up to the sky versus facing down to the bottom sheet?
Correct. So she is
or do
facing
you mean
down.
Head of the bed to the foot of the
nah,
bed.
No, she
You're
is sheet
about-
facing the bottom, like facing the fitted sheet, not facing the ceiling.
So that when she opens it up to get in,
you see
it
pattern.
Looks pretty?
You see pretty pattern, pretty, pretty pattern. Whereas when I'm making it, I want pattern facing the ceiling because that's how I see it when I'm putting it down in the daylight. And it looks lovely as I make the bed. And I can't even tell you how many of the stupid arguments we've gotten into over how the sheet goes down.
But the problem is that why do you have pattern sheets? I don't think I've owned a set of pattern sheets in my life.
Crisp white sheets, huh?
Yeah, or colors.
Hmm. Yeah, we got a
little
pattern.
The ones I have now
ours.
Are like a blue, but there's not flowers or unicorns.
Yeah, there's not flowers. I don't know. There's just a little
pattern on it. Or you probably have like a Star Wars sheets like we've talked about.
I wish. Yeah, no, they're just, you know, Costco sheets. Fairly high thread count.
What is the pattern?
I don't know. It's just some sort of whimsical little pattern. You can't really make anything out.
A whimsical pattern?
Yeah. It's like if you stare at it long enough, like a pirate ship comes at you or something.
Well, if you got my sheets, then guys would never fight. It's the same blue on both sides.
I don't want that. I don't want
plain
sheets.
What pattern do you need?
Plain sheets shows too much.
I show my creativity in other ways.
You want a pattern. It hides things.
I might need...
it hides stains.
I might need Nicole, who's listening at your house right now, to take a picture.
Yeah,
and
she
send
can
me.
Take a picture of our sheets.
So I want to see what pattern you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a lovely pattern.
Okay, cute. What else?
why wouldn't you want the pattern? You feel like you're in a hotel room otherwise, then just the plain sheet? That's boring.
Because
that's bland.
Don't stare.
Zazz
at
it
the
up
sheets.
A little bit. Zazz up
and
your life.
After you see it for 2 days, it's still exciting.
It really is.
Like
actually.
After 6 months, you pull the sheets out. Oh my god! Look at
that
delightful
good,
pattern.
That is a strong pattern we got on our
bed. Interesting. Okay,
and then the second
else?
One is one I think a lot of people can relate to with pets: is the dog on the bed versus the dog not on the
yes.
bed. I am firmly in the dog in no bed camp, and usually, like on the weekends, if I get up before Knickknack, I'll go down and make coffee or whatever, and I'll bring her up a cup of coffee. And when I come up, 99% of the time, the dog is in the bed. So the dog hears me leave and then quickly gets up into bed.
And knows that mama will give the green light.
And she usually covers the dog up with those patterned sheets so I don't see.
Now I know
little
what
Goldie
Fawn.
I know, right? The dog
you got a little
butt.
You got a little dog piddle on your sheets.
Yeah, she's... She pulls the big one. She pulls the trickery once I leave the bed. The dog comes
in. You know,
that
is a big one. And I'll bet that's been big. That's number
for years.
One.
Yeah.
I bet that's the number one issue.
Yeah.
Is dogs absolutely. In the bed, dogs not in the bed.
And it's the cutest thing when you go in there and the dog sees you coming and, you know, she gets really low and it's just the eye movement. She's like, looks up at you and looks down. Looks up at you and looks down.
I know I'm not allowed up here.
And my dog just knows. No. So that's all I have to say is no. And she gets
slinks
up and gets
off.
Down.
Looks up at Nicole. Is he going to die? Let's kill him.
I hate these sheets.
I will chew his throat out in the middle of the night. And then it'll just be you and me, Nicole.
That's it. In the bed all day together. Oh my gosh. So many texts coming in with the sheet issues. So thanks, everybody.
Oh, really?
Pattern
because
ups, pattern downs, pattern ups, pattern downs. A lot of pattern up people, a lot of pattern down people.
I never knew that was a big thing. I guess because I'm not a pattern person. A
couple people saying TMI, Jeremy, regarding the stains.
You know, the thing is, I will say this. If I were to be a pattern on the sheets, which I can't see why I would change now, I would be pattern up.
Me too. That's...
So I get what you're
Casey
saying.
Casey says pattern down. That's the finished side, and it should touch your body.
What?
Both sides feel exactly the same, Casey.
Exactly the same.
Buying? There's not a magical one side.
You have been bamboozled.
Pattern up, says Mary.
Casey.